Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chris and Andre Show.
Hello, everybody. It's episode 25 of the Chris and Andre Show. We're glad you're listening.
Yes, still.
Still, we really do appreciate it. Yeah. we're obviously just coming out of July 4th and trying to, I guess, wrap our heads around, getting back to work. And
what did you do for the 4th of July weekend, Andre?
I went down to Jacksonville and some of my friends, they were pretty cool about the fact that I don't eat meat. And on the way back, I was telling my wife, I'm like, you know, I could have eaten everything outside of like the whole spread. I could have eaten a lot of things and didn't really. I picked up some protein burgers from Aldi's on my way into town. And if I'm being honest, I could have. There was enough food that I would have eaten without the meat anyway. So,
yeah,
but it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I was, it was kind of nice. I was down in Carolina Beach for like 10 days with my folks, and my cousin and her family came up from Atlanta, and she's got two little girls that are Helena's age, and so they just had like the best time. But normally when I go down to the beach, I do the majority of the cooking just because, you know, it's easier than trying to get my mom to, you know, but this time she actually did a bunch of vegan cooking, which was awesome. So shout out to my mom. And I just kind of like took a break. I made it a couple of things here and there, but we did like some Prager's burgers on the grill. We did some pasta primavera, just like some really simple things because I was not in the mood to do a whole bunch of heavy cooking because it was plenty warm down there. And we got a little bit of rain every now and then. The 3rd and 4th of July, we spent basically both days at the beach the entire time. And so,
that's dope.
It was fun. You know, like I don't remember the last time that I spent that much time at the beach or that much time in the water. Like, Helena had her little swim vest on because she still hasn't finished swim lessons. But other than that, that kid's like a freaking dolphin, like just over the waves all the time. And you can hardly keep her out of the water.
Right.
She got real brave, which was good and bad. I told her, it's like, you know, obviously now we really need to get swim lessons because I'm the one that's scared like way more than she is.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a really good time.
Yeah, I had to work for the week, but my wife and daughter went down there, and then my wife came back, and then we drove down on Saturday. Saturday, and it was pretty good.
So
I actually had the experience of seeing $1,000 worth of fireworks go off.
That was, oh, really?
Good. Yeah, the whole neighborhood was like launching. I mean, this guy lives on 2 acres, right?
Yeah.
And it's this big farmhouse.
Yep.
There's obviously a lot of room in between each home. And so imagine a modern subdivision with 2 acres and just huge, like, dope-looking contemporary farmhouses. So it was that was pretty wild. Way out in the country. Well, not way out in the country. I just wouldn't live in Jacksonville. So
it sounds like, not too dissimilar from the neighborhood that we moved to in Summerfield outside of Greensboro. You know, like Northwest Guilford High School is out there. You probably know the McDonald's that's off of Bunch Albert. Road.
Yep. Yeah. I do.
Okay. And so, yeah, it, near there, and it was basically that same thing. Like, we, you know, it was like an acre and a half, big contemporary farm homes. We had a pond that was next to ours. And same thing, like every 4th of July, we would go down to South Carolina, buy a bunch of fireworks, come back and shoot them off over the pond, and the sheriff would be sitting on like our street watching from his car, like, ooh.
Fireworks.
But also, like, if something goes wrong, then he's there to arrest you, you know, like,
yeah.
Either way, he wins.
He saw the crime committed.
But yeah, I can't imagine living in Jacksonville either. That's not like a location that I would want to move to.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like former military, like a veteran, probably not. Yeah. There's not really a whole lot going on out there except for Smithfields and Camp Lejeune. So, but I mean, that wasn't my lifestyle, but a lot of, like, you know, a lot of my friends are in the military. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to end up at a base at some point. So.
But so the fireworks display was pretty incredible.
Oh my gosh. It was so like, I wanted to like light some fireworks, but then the other part of me was like, yeah, that's how you catch on fire.
I mean, it is one of the ways. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, being right on the beach there, they canceled all of the professional fireworks displays down at Wilmington and Carolina Beach. Carolina Beach usually does theirs off of the pier on the 3rd of July. And then Wilmington downtown obviously usually does their huge fireworks display over the river on the 4th. So with both of those being canceled, I think everybody that was there decided that they would just chip into their own personal, you know, contributions. So,
right.
There was some restaurant down at the near like the Curie Beach Pier, I guess, had gotten permission from the town to do a big fireworks display of their own, like a basically a professional one. So that was pretty cool. We could watch that from a distance, and we went out. My dad always has a, you know, decent stash. He had these, like, they were like Texas pop rockets, I think is what they were called. They were basically tiny little bottle rockets that had, I don't even think it was like an M40 or an M20 or something like that tied right. to them. And so they go like way up in the sky and then it just pop. It's literally like the tiniest, crappiest little, most disappointing, you know, pop. And so like we start shooting off those of the people that we aren't even there with us but are just sitting on the beach, you know, watching the other fireworks display. It's like oh like
the inevitable disappointment, right?
Yeah, but then he had another one that was, you know, one of the like multi-shot packs, which those are always my favorite because I feel like you get the most bang for your buck overall. Full pun intended. Why not? This is the Chris and Andre Show, and I am Chris overall, after all, and after under all. But yeah, so we shot off a few of those and some other big mortar ones that he had as well. So it was a good time, I think, had by all. By the end of the night, we were getting applause. So, but yeah, it's always fun and a little precarious when you're lighting fireworks, kind of like, is this the one that blows up in my hand, or am I going to survive another round?
Yeah, I like to err on the side of caution.
Cooking.
Well, yeah, the food was good. Like, I'm on this whole, I'm realizing something over the last, I guess, month or so. I don't really, I don't crave meat, but I also... Although I've been eating a lot of Beyond and Impossible burgers, but I can totally do a meal without meat. I went to a Mexican restaurant in my town, and they had a vegetarian burrito with mushrooms, broccoli, peppers, and stuff like that. It was really good. And a black bean salad.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that is so dope. I was so full. Not like heavy full, but I was like, that was pretty good. So I've been trying to like come up with some different ways to look at food like since last week. So I'm like, what are some things I could probably experiment with over the next week or so? So
yeah, it's funny. My dad was asking me when we were down at the beach, just, you know, well, since you don't eat meat, you know, where do you get your protein? And I kind of laughed and I was like, yeah, it's a, you know, common question. But meat is actually not that great of a source of protein. That's a pretty common, you know, misconception. Well, where does that come from? I was like, well, mostly meat lobbyists. But, you know, and it was just kind of explaining to him, like, yeah, you know, beans, and there's lots of green vegetables that have lots of protein in it as well. And so, you know, one of the things that I've been kind of interested in learning more about is, you know, I guess focusing more on healthy vegan eating, because right. I initially took on very much the concept of, well, if it's vegan, it must be generally healthy for me. And that's like saying if it has the word diet, you know, or light in it, then it must be okay for me to eat as much as I want. And I kind of got out of my portion control habits and started eating a lot more. And so trying to get back on some of those better eating habits in addition to giving up the meat and animal products, which is was a little challenging over the 4th of July holiday, but at the same time, not, because I wasn't necessarily eating lunch. There wasn't a ton of options, you know, because I made like one trip to the grocery store, maybe two. I was trying to minimize how many times I had to go out. But
well, I'll tell you something really weird. I may get in trouble for saying this.
Please
but
do.
Yeah. My wife ate meat while she was like at the beach. Right.
Yeah.
And, she's like, it was really good, but I got really sick. And I'm like, yeah, you probably would get really sick because, number one, you don't eat meat. Well, she eats fish, but like she was eating beef and chicken, and she was real. She goes, I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to do that. Like, I said, so can you imagine what would happen to me if, like, I sat down and ate, like, a course with meat in it?
Yeah.
It'd probably kill me.
Yeah, let alone like, you know, a 15-ounce ribeye or something like that. You know? Yeah, it's funny, you know. I mean, like, I'm certainly haven't gotten ever to the point where I'm like, well, maybe I'll have meat just this one time. But there have been times where I'm kind of like, I do almost miss like certain things, but then that's usually very fleeting. You know, and it's never anything where I'm like, well, I'm going to give up being a vegan because that moment was hard for me to think about bacon and not having bacon. Like,
yeah, hard pass. Yeah. I'm good. Like, there's a vegan bacon we pick up from the store. It's actually pretty tasty on sandwiches. And,
which one is it, if you don't mind me asking?
I didn't buy it. My wife did. Like, if I buy it again, I'll let you know.
I'll call Tiffy later.
Yeah. Because I really
number so.
Oh, okay. Well, and I didn't even think about that. <I know. laughs> All right, whatever. That's how I roll, man. But yeah, I don't really I don't know. I think I'm in this whole like I want more vegetable things. Like we were eating dinner the other day, and she made a salad, and I literally was just eating the salad before like a plates were served. I'm like, dude, I'm really like in this whole like vegetable kick right now. So,
it's awesome.
But it's free. Yeah.
When you get into that, like I really enjoy that feeling as well. You know, where it's like, you're not even feeling like you need the meat substitute, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. And then every once in a while, it's nice to be able to kind of balance that with, you know, having like your tofu or your seitan or, something like that.
I did run across some recipes, and once I started experimenting, it's like it was an article, the top 15 or 20 like fried chicken or something like that. I don't remember. It's like they had tofu and like these different types of mushroom that they were making into like one looked like fried chicken. I was like, yeah, that's dope. I would totally eat that. I'm gonna probably start with some tofu recipes this week. Because I've seen a lot of good ones. Did I tell you about the time I actually got my General's chicken with tofu? I was not impressed.
No, where'd you get it from?
Number one Asian in my little town.
Didn't we? I think we did talk about that last week.
That was disappointing.
Yeah, I like the. I think it's New China that's right up the street from my house by the Walmart neighborhood market. Does the sesame tofu and the General Tso's tofu, and those are both really good. I tried the sesame tofu at one of the restaurants down for takeout down by my parents' place, and Christy was giving me a hard time because she was like, wow, you got Chinese food at a Japanese restaurant, like what did you expect? It's gonna taste like crap, of course. And it didn't taste like crap. I just like the breading and the texture and everything, it was just not, it just wasn't what I was looking for at all. There was this really good Szechuan place that we ordered from a while ago that had some absolutely amazing dishes, and I keep trying to get her to order it again. But
well, you want to hear something really strange? I took a picture of my veggie burrito. I was like, so what do I do with it?
Do you want to hear something funny? On the desktop of my computer, I have a screenshot of your Instagram account before you deleted it with the one picture of food that you had posted. Because, yes, I am that petty. And I'm just saving it for that day when you cross me and I'm like, boom, see, he did do it that one time, even though he tried to hide it.
Yeah, that was probably like me realizing that's not me. So,
sports.
I've been listening to all the sports rumors, and I don't think we should have a season.
No, I agree.
So not to change topics, but I was just thinking about.
No, that's a perfectly good topic change. There was a nice little pause, so I can insert a topic. You know.
Like, oh, okay. Well, I did good then.
The people listening will barely even notice.
Do you think there's going to be a season? I mean, let me back up. Mahomes contract.
Okay, so we want to start there.
Let me back up all the way.
I did not see the details outside of 10 years.
10 years, and gosh, what was the amount? It was something, it was stupid. Let me pull it back up. Gosh. And I'm not hating on the kid for making that much money.
No, it's not. Yeah. Oh, $503 million.
Yeah. Yo.
So he's averaging $50 million a year. I know it's not. He's not actually getting paid because there's all the other. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's guaranteed or what's. You know,
right. I mean, but if it's a $500 million contract, then it's got to be. I mean, what was Russell Wilson had like? He had $78 million guaranteed. Was it freaking Kirk Cousins that had the fully guaranteed contract was like $80 million or something stupid like that? Good job, Minnesota.
We just give away money, making it rain.
I mean, they could have waited one more season and gotten Jacoby Brissett for like nothing.
Yeah.
Or Phillip Rivers. I mean, they could have Phillip Rivers right now. I read a great article, not to completely change topic because I want to come back to Mahomes because that's freaking stupid, by the way. But there's a great article about how the Chargers are primed at every position except one. Can you guess which one it is?
Running back?
Kicker.
No, I'm going to go on.
No, quarterback.
I'm going to go on a limb and say quarterback. Whatever.
But, you knew that was going to happen ultimately.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's silly money, but I think it's dope for him, man.
Hats off to the kid, but it's insane where these contracts are going. Like, I just... And I understand how it works. Like, I understand the logistics of negotiating and contracts and, you know, that it's literally just a progressive scale because every time right. that somebody signs a contract extension, the next guy that gets paid is like, well, I won't get paid more than he does because I won the Super Bowl and he was only one Super Bowl and it's, you know, whatever. Okay.
You don't have enough quarterbacks in that caliber to even have that conversation. And then when you look at Mahomes, he's kind of, he's an anomaly if I'm being honest.
And that'll be, I think an interesting thing going forward is because there does seem to be kind of a dearth of young quarterback talent outside of like Mahomes, kind of Watson, you know, Lamar Jackson.
Right.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I'd really put in that category.
There's probably not.
No. I had to think for one more second. And then you've got this more established, but not, you know, kind of, I mean, let's be honest, Russell Wilson's probably got like one or two more years before he starts seeing a significant decline in his performance overall, just based on age and historical numbers, you know, like it just...
That's kind of rough. I think he's I'm going to defend Wilson. I think he's held up pretty well.
Well, no, he has. But what, he's 34?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 34. Historically, 36 is where quarterbacks start to take a significant drop off in performance. Even
historically, the training was different. So, like, the reason
but
why
this
we,
is also taking this. Anyways, I'm pretty sure the data was from like the last 15 years or something like that. So it was.
But I think that data is bunk.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
How does that explain Brady? How does that
it
explain?
Doesn't. Brady's an outlier.
Favre
is another outlier.
That's too many outliers. That's two. That's a trend.
I mean, Peyton Manning's performance dropped off at 36, right? Even Brady has had, I mean, Brady's performance last year wasn't as good as it has been historically. Like, it was way down.
I understand what the data is saying. I just don't think it's very accurate. Because the reason why I would argue that is because if that were true, Manning would have never been able to get those extra two seasons out.
No, because I disagree. He got those two seasons out in spite of a decline in performance. Even the year that they won the Super Bowl, he wasn't like classic Peyton Manning. You know, he wasn't the reason that they won that they went to the Super Bowl and won it. That defense was freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, without it, I don't think that he would have been good enough for them to win. And I have a lot of respect for Peyton Manning. And, you know, I think, like, he obviously made the right decision to go to Denver and go win another Super Bowl. And I'm hoping that, you know, Phillip Rivers made the right decision. He's going to go to Indy and win another one. But I don't know that they have the defense or the rest of the pieces around him to carry him. So we'll see. Although playing in a dome, that'll be interesting. That could work out to his benefit.
Let's
put it this way. Playing for a home crowd might actually help.
Yeah, that might help.
The first time since NC State.
That might actually help more. But I thought the contract, it's like, all right, so you're going to open the floodgates and let's see what happens next, right?
But is it really? I mean, because I think a lot of people feel like Mahomes is next level talent. Like, I still don't.
Like, I think he's got good legs and he's got a strong arm. Who's another one? We could say the same thing about Russell Wilson.
Well, but that's another point that I would say in terms of Russell Wilson, all the more reason that he's only got a couple more years before the performance drops off is as good as he has become in the pocket, Seattle has historically relied on him being mobile and elusive when the pocket ultimately collapses for him to make things happen. And even as good a job as I think he's done taking care of his body, he's had some injuries. Can he continue to remain as elusive? He's not as fast as he was.
That's the age. Yeah, but like the, ago, I mean, his whole, like quarterbacks like that, they have to have, I mean, you don't want to question their overall arsenal, right? So that's arm strength. That's intelligence at the line. There's a lot more. Russell is
very high up on both of those. I don't disagree. I think ultimately, I mean, it's a silly conversation to have because we're just sitting here prognosticating on something that doesn't.
we won't even have a season this year. But anyway.
Even all the more reason. No, you're right. You know what? So I'm going to give him 3 years then.
Yeah. You can rest up this season.
Taking last year off.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen. I know, like, MLS is like pretty much they're pulling teams out. NBA is still trying to squeeze forward with a season, which I think it's a waste of time.
I mean, is it even a season at this point? Aren't they just trying to wrap up the playoffs?
The playoffs. Well, you know what I mean?
No, I just wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something.
I mean, at this point, just
hand LeBron the title.
Yeah, and call it a day.
He wasn't even number one
seed. I would hate to, like, I don't want to sound like disrespectful to LeBron because I like him, but like, I hope he doesn't win a season for the wrong reasons, basically, you know, because odds are they're going to win the championship.
I see. No, I hear what you're saying. I don't know.
I mean, and remember, I'm ladies and gentlemen, I'm a Knicks fan. I haven't seen the playoffs in a minute, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I guess I think as competitive a guy as LeBron seems to be, I would hope he would put, you know, the safety of himself and the other people around him.
And that's just devil's advocate Andre coming out. Like, I like LeBron, so I wouldn't be like, yo, he's just sitting for that room. But
you're no Skip Bayless.
I just hope like at the end of the day, it's not worth like the kid on the actor that was on Broadway, 41 years old, who passed away. Like, none of that stuff's worth it if people lose their lives. And the unpredictability of this disease, it's like all bets are off, you know? Yeah. Was it worth it, right? That's just my thought. It's like, maybe we sit this one out.
I'll be honest, like, we got, you know, because we're season ticket holders for NC State football, and we got the, you know, deadline to submit for ticket, you know, request, and we went ahead and submitted and got our tickets, but I don't know, you know, whether or not we end up having a season. I don't even know if they do have a season, what that looks like, or, you know, if we would end up wanting to attend.
Right.
It would all just kind of depend, I guess, on how things were looking at that time. But
yeah. What do you think about the Indians, the Braves, the Redskins, name changes?
So, I mean, I guess honestly, like at this point, I have not been a fan of the Redskins name for a long time. I feel like the Cleveland Indians and like Big Chief and stuff like that seems kind of overtly racist, you know? The Braves, I never really considered the Braves, but why not? I know that, you know, with Florida State and the Seminoles, like, they supposedly have a pretty good relation with the Seminole tribe there and whatnot, but I don't know, you know, if some people say it's okay, does that mean that everybody feels like it's okay? There still seems to be an awful lot of appropriation overall by, let's admit, a whole lot of white folks. You know, and so I think it's, I don't know, you know, it's kind of interesting because I've heard, I can't remember who I heard this from, but I've heard from some people the sense of kind of like, well, we're focusing on black people right now. Like, let's fix stuff for black people first. And then, you know, essentially if there's time, Native Americans, we'll get back to you guys. And, you know, I think it's pretty amazing the whitewashing that America has done over what has happened to the Native Americans. And, you know, I think even looking at stuff like the Keystone XL pipeline and whatnot, you know, that's essentially just ignoring all of these burial grounds and, you know, all of this other stuff, including the fact that they run high risks of contaminating the water supply for multiple tribes up there. And it's just nobody cares. And when I say nobody, obviously I don't mean nobody, but not enough people care, you know?
I mean, where is the integrity before that decision's even finalized? You know, aren't they, I was under the impression that these companies had to do, studies to prove it's, you know, how, what the impact is on the community, the environment, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and that was the whole thing, was that Trump had signed some executive order essentially eliminating all that stuff and saying that the Army Corps of Engineers could fast track the approval of pipeline projects even if they crossed bodies of water that were used for, you know, consumption. And all of them, except for the Keystone XL pipeline, got this stamp of approval. And for some reason, the court said, no, the Army Corps of Engineers still has to go back and look at this one. So I don't know what the difference is there. I didn't get that far into it when I was reading earlier, but yeah, I don't understand how you can sit there and say, well, we don't need an environmental impact study when you're running an oil pipeline underground.
Right.
Like I just,
yeah,
you know, and the argument is that supposedly, well, we have more and more train loads that are going, you know, in order because we don't have this pipeline. So those are more dangerous than a spill here. And
so I think the cop out with even the pipeline in North Carolina that got kind of scrapped,
I guess, the gas one, right? The West Virginia, yeah. Virginia, North Carolina gas pipeline that Duke finally pulled the plug on.
Yeah, and Warren Buffett just picked up an $8 billion
tax write-off.
Yeah, pretty much. So I guess he bought all that debt. I just find it very, it's a scapegoat approach. Like we keep talking about, and I say we, everybody, about, you know, alternate forms of energy, but we keep going back to the same old, same old.
Right. I thought the same thing when they're sitting here arguing about, well, this will reduce our dependence on foreign oil. I'm going, A, I've driven through New Mexico and West Texas. In fact, all of Texas now. I know that there's way more oil there if we actually just wanted it and you know, to, I mean, I swear, if the U.S. really wanted to put pressure on OPEC, that
we stockpile our oil.
Right. And use we and then pile all yeah. Anyways.
So that's a stupid argument.
So why not reduce our dependence on foreign oil by not needing it at all? where is the logic? It's like I tell my 6-year old. I'm trying to help you understand the flaws in your logic here. And you're not listening.
It's really sad. I kind of, and you're right. There is this whole, we're not going to focus on indigenous people or Native Americans and we'll be okay. And they got a real raw end of the deal before a lot of other people did. And I tell my friends sometimes, like, yeah, we can't forget about these guys too, because they got a really crappy deal.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, that in and of itself, I think that we should not be, I mean, that's just I look at those names of those teams as another example of colonialism. It's just like, we don't really care so much about why that, no, we don't care so much that you're still here, but we think it's kind of cool that we can do this. So.
Right. I mean, it's, we want to glorify, we want to glorify and appropriate your past, ourselves, even though we have absolutely nothing to do with it, and then claim ignorance or, you know, innocence when called on the carpet for it, which I've never really understood how that works. You know, how you can say, well, it's not meant to be offensive. Well, it doesn't really matter, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I said it with a smile, so...
With all due respect, Mr. Dennett, you can go fuck yourself.
I've been trying to not watch the news so much, unsuccessfully, but I've been trying.
I just kept turning it off at the beach. My mom and dad always put it on in the morning when they get up. They watch, you know, NBC, Today Show or whatever. And it will go into the local news and then, you know, like just back and forth. And it's the same garbage over and over again. I'm just like, I'm just like, nope, I can't do this anymore. My dad, what's wrong? I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I changed it. Sorry.
The bad part is you have to be informed or
there's a difference, right? I mean, like, and that's because I have found that consuming stuff through Google News and staying the hell away from Twitter has been one of the best things. Although I will say the other day, I don't even remember what it was, but I got on the best comment thread I think I've ever found on Twitter. Not a single person agreed with whatever it was that the original poster was trying to argue, and was just calling out one after the other. And it was like, oh, good. Finally.
It's time for politics.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, have you heard about Parler?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they stepped in it big time.
Oh, man. I laugh when I hear people say, well, it's hindering my freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I think that is the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are two hot buttons for people, but I don't think they understand what they actually mean, which blows my mind. So people are getting banned on Parler now, and these right wing people thought they had a place to hang out and just all create their own echo chamber,
yeah,
which is what it's become.
Yeah.
And that's what it will be, because nobody wants to deal with that, you know? And the CEO and founder of the place is like trying to give out a $20,000 bounty if he can get a liberal, like a popular liberal or non
platform, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that is so lame, dude. Like, you're such lame.
If you have to pay someone to join your platform,
what does that tell you?
What does that tell you? Exactly. Yeah. And that's, yeah. And I know that like they've gotten in trouble now gotten called out for banning people and removing their posts. And then they claim that, you know, it was basically people posting pictures of their own fecal matter as comments and stuff. And, saying, well, that's a violation of our terms and conditions. And it's like, well, what do you think that, you know, I mean, Twitter's terms and conditions say, well, if you post something that we find to be inherently untrue, we have the right to put a freaking, you know, big warning on it that says, hey, this is a big fat fucking lie by a big fat fucking liar.
So I read Parler's TOS and I was like, oh, these guys are going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
They're not going to make it.
The whole thing, I mean, because you had to know, first off, if you're going to sit there and say, whatever you can say on the street corner, you can say on Parler. Okay, great. Somebody's going to show up and test that theory.
They're not going to make it, dude. I don't know. They've got a great, I heard that they have 1.5 million users and they gained in a week. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, it's just going to be an echo chamber.
How many followers does Donald Trump have on there?
He's not even on there.
Oh, I thought he was.
No, his son is.
Oh, okay. It's the other Trump.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that I don't understand this whole freedom of speech argument. It's like, what are you trying to say? You know,
Yeah, because then, I mean, they turn around and get upset about, you know, people wearing a hijab out in public,
yeah,
you know, and other elements of the First Amendment. And I think what it ultimately boils down to is it's the same type of cherry picking, you know, and twisting of the rules, right? As we've talked about with people leveraging religion and scripture from the Bible, right? Where they're weaponizing parts of it without even understanding that in the larger context, what they're saying is inherently false. Or they understand that, but they don't care because they're like, nope, I can, if I read it this way, I can pretend like it says what I want it to say.
I literally watched Rick Santorum get into an argument with Zachary Sellers this morning. He compared Confederate statues with his opinion about pro-life. He basically said that the context of the Confederate history in this country should, let me paraphrase, because it was just,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this dude lost his damn mind. But he literally said, well, how is it different? How can I look at somebody's, because Zachary Sellers said, well, why can't I say that George Washington was a slave owner? And Rick Santorum's argument was, well, you have to think about the good he did. He goes, okay, that's fine. But he was also a slave owner. So he may have done good things, but the contextual like truth is he was a slave owner and you shouldn't ignore that fact. Santorum's argument, what he brought it to pro-life. He goes, so are you okay with murder? And he was like, what? He goes, well, I don't believe murder's right, but a lot of good people, you know, agree that murdering babies before they're born. I was like, what kind of crazy is this, man? And I was like, wow, these guys are, they're lost, man. It's,
also just, there are good people on both sides.
He pretty much did. It makes me wonder what a conservative's trying to conserve.
Well, that's, I mean, that's what I don't understand, right? Is like, what happened to all of the reasonable conservatives at this point in politics, right? Like, where have they gone? Where is the representation there? You know, because I think what we see from the politicians that are being, you know, just repeatedly elected or reelected to office is just freaking craziness. I mean, these are things that should not, there are so many of these issues that shouldn't even be issues. These are basic human elements that we need to figure out what's the right way to provide it, not whether or not it should be provided.
Like, right.
You know, I mean, equal rights for people, you know, like, that at least by the letter of the law and the way that it is built to be enforced, it is not an inherently, you know, oppressive system towards any one or, you know, multiple groups. Like, this is, should not be that hard.
So I think so I've been hearing, there's two things that have been blowing my mind lately. So the guy's rhetoric, like, I don't even like to say his name, man. The guy's rhetoric around race, it just blows my mind, right? But everybody's calling him out for the fact that he's only concerned about getting his base,
yeah,
like, super committed to voting for him.
Yep.
But here's the truth, dude. They already are going to vote for you. Like, and what's interesting is that all these commentators and pundits are saying, well, a third of the country is going to vote for him. And I think we've been saying that. There's literally a third of the country that is going to vote for this guy.
Yep.
The three reasons they're going to vote for them are because A, they're racist. B, they'll never vote for a Democrat. And C, because they just don't know, right? They just don't like something that the other party is offering. And those people are the ones I'm kind of concerned about. The other two thirds of that group, whatever. But, well, actually, that's not true. The ones that'll never vote for a Democrat, you can't disassociate this guy from being a racist.
Yeah.
Like, so really he's only worried about, like, Trump is worried about a third of a third.
And I think ultimately, like, ask yourself, why is it that you are so afraid of Democrats, right? I mean, because here's the thing, like, I think there are people who have legitimate reasons to be afraid of Republicans. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
And there are things that I don't agree with, and there are Democrats that I don't like, you know, but I'm just, you know, I would never sit here and go, well, I will never vote for a Republican, right? Like,
but you're not, I think the problem with this election, it's a true moral decision.
I mean, like, I hope that people look at it that way, but I don't know that people often enough align their morality with the way that they vote.
I have seen and heard more news articles, so I've either seen them or seen reporting on, like, just more racist stuff. No. And what's really weird, and it's not selective reporting, each one of the people that are racist, at some level or some point in the article, they bring up Trump. Like, so if that's the guy you're voting for, like, seriously, there's something wrong with you.
Well, and the fact that his own people, I mean, and I get why they do it, because you have to, but the fact that they continue to pretend like the rest of us are dumb enough to believe he's not constantly feeding that, you know, like retweeting the video of, you know, the whatever stupid parade in Florida.
White power.
Yeah, white power. The lady in freaking Arizona. Oh, my goodness. Karen QAnon, Karen, or whatever they call her now.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And then do you see the video of her getting arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, her husband looked like he was enjoying it more than anybody.
It's, dude, it's like, okay, so they're all out of the woodwork, right? So a lot of these people are exposed.
She's the CEO of a PR firm.
I just saw a CEO of a startup in San Francisco, like blasting an Asian family, effing Asians, and you don't belong here. Trump's going to F you. I mean, dude, if America has a racist element or population, they're all like coming out of the woodworks. And I've said time and time again, maybe it's not so bad for maybe we should have Trump on TV every day. I just don't want to see it. Like, I know he's going to say something that's just, you know, BS crazy, but I swear on my
right toe. I stopped watching him. Yeah. I will read articles about him and I will read what he says, but I will not watch him say it anymore because I can't. First off, I can't stand the sound of his voice.
Hear
him speak is like nails on a chalkboard. And the fact that anybody could find him inspirational, I mean, like,
He wants Bubba Wallace to apologize to NASCAR.
Yeah. You need NASCAR, to apologize to NASCAR.
NASCAR called the FBI. Bubba Wallace never saw the news.
No. Somebody else saw it, told him, NASCAR called the FBI. He responded based on the information that was given to him, based on what they knew at the time. And when it came out that it wasn't, he said, I'm glad that somebody didn't put a freaking noose in my garage. Like, I would have been heartbroken if it turned out that was somebody inside of the NASCAR organization that had done that.
Yeah. And this guy, I mean, he lies so much. It's implausible to think that he doesn't lie about everything. He said that people wanted to tear down statues of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, first of all, I've never seen a statue. I've never seen a city or heard of a city with a statue of Jesus Christ in it. That's in public. That's accessible to the public.
Just that one in Brazil, right?
Yeah. And good luck pulling that down. Right? It blows my mind, dude. And it's just like, you know, and I guess I have to accept that there's a lot of racist people that are being vocal about their racism.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that it's okay to be vocal about their racism.
Isn't that sad? Like, I have to concede to the fact that, well, I knew there were racist people, but now I get to see more of the racist people exposed. Yeah. And so your question, where are the reasonable Republicans? I don't know. I think they're all like sitting on the fence, you know. Mitch McConnell made a very interesting statement. He goes, you know, they're asking him if he understood the president, you know, the guy's view on the Confederate flag. It just bothers me. And he says, well, you know, I lived in South Carolina all my life and I'm a business person and the Confederate flag is not good for business. Very succinct, like, yep. No, I don't agree with them. Like, why would you defend that? Even if you're just you just care about the dollar, you should know it's not good for business.
Yeah. Duh. I mean, the fact that it took the state of Mississippi this long to figure that out, you know?
It's rough, dude. Like,
the fact that it took NASCAR this long to figure that out, you know, that base is not what you want. I'm sorry. If that's who your fan base is, just like the NFL. If you're the NFL and your fan base says that a player kneeling to raise awareness of police brutality against black people is offensive to them and they don't want to watch, good. I'm sorry that we've collected as much of your money over the years as we have. If you want to tell me how much it is, I'd gladly write you a check so you can have it back because I don't want your money.
Yeah, I it,
like, where are the freaking balls in business anymore? Honestly,
well, they're hedging their bets. Like, I don't think Facebook. The Facebook boycott is really about Facebook. I think it's more about the fact that they're having a really crappy quarter.
Can someone explain to me the idea here? Because I've seen people posting boycott Facebook pictures on Facebook. How does that work?
Dude, these companies are pulled out for 30 days, except for Coca-Cola, that suspended all their social media spend until the end of the year. My gut tells me it's more about it's a P&L play.
Yeah.
Like, It has nothing to do with
it's anything. It's a convenience factor.
Yep. It was just perfect timing.
Yep.
Let's hide out. You know, what's a 30-day boycott?
Nothing. That's one month, which is for them is nothing. Like,
yeah. I mean, so granted, their stock had a loss of $60 or $80 billion. I don't remember. It was enough that where I don't make that much. But you know what Zuckerberg said? He said they'll be back. And he's very adamant that they were not going to change their stance because people don't like it.
Yep.
So that's not like, why would you want to do business with a company like that?
I don't know. I mean, that sounds a lot like China's response to all the sanctions being levied against them because of their national security law in Hong Kong. And, you know, for the most part, it seems like a lot of people don't like China. So I don't really understand why you would ever want to do business with somebody like that.
Yeah, you know what you do? Like, I swear, if I was in government, I was like, all right, got you. I'm going to make it so uncomfortable for a company to put a factory in China. Because, I wouldn't do that. Because that's stupid. The company should have the balls to do the right thing. Period.
Yeah.
They should be like, well, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think companies have to vote with their wallets too, in that sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, show what it is that you stand for. And I think that's something that, you know, especially with like Apple, that's always been kind of, I mean, not to say that Apple is the only one, right? I mean, every major computer manufacturer that I know of manufactures their stuff overseas. There's hardly any manufacturing at all left here in the United States. I mean, even Mexico in their manufacturing has taken a huge hit because of China. And
so why not like stop playing the game? Just figure out ways to bring the manufacturing back to a place where it's not so hostile. Well, and granted, Mexico's got a lot of security problems in most of the states there, but I mean, there are ways to, I know there are ways to make it right. There are definitely ways to make it right.
I mean, I think part of it, you know, is that there are less companies invested in the U.S. economy, or not the U.S. economy, but in the United States as a country, you know, in its well-being. I think companies, larger companies in particular now are more, you know, I mean, you look at like Apple, where they're going to have their headquarters in Scotland or whatever, so that they can pay no tax, essentially.
Right.
And then they're going to manufacture everything in China, and they're going to, you know, use lobbying and all of his other, you know, part favors and everything to import stuff for as cheap as they can and then sell it for hundreds of dollars. You know, I mean, the new iPhone is only like, what, $1,000?
Yeah.
Seriously, every year it's got to cost $100 more than it did the year before. Like magic. That's incredible.
Here's my dilemma. Everybody, I mean, we all watch it, but we don't do anything.
We keep buying it.
Yeah.
We're talking cars.
We do the same thing every time. Like we were driving back home, and I noticed something. And I was like, wow, you notice every new sedan is an import.
Toyota probably.
GM mostly. GM and Ford and Dodge are pulling out of the sedans.
Yep.
And they just want to make trucks and SUVs. I'm like, so what you're saying is it's one of two things. Either we make really crappy cars, which I think that's probably the issue, and we can't keep up with our competitors, or two, you know, we just want to go for the dollar play here. And we're willing to, like, people are still going to buy cars.
Yeah. In fact, I would imagine that people are going to buy cars more than they're going to buy trucks, maybe, but maybe not SUVs. But I mean, I know that the truck market in the U.S. is huge, and that's, you know, like Toyota, but even Toyota has taken a big chunk of that. You know, I mean, I drive a Tacoma.
Yeah.
I know you hate me for it, but
No, I do. I'll be honest. I do like the Tacoma. I just don't like their cars. I think the Tacoma is probably the only, the PJ Cruiser, the Tacoma, and the Land Cruiser are the only Toyota trucks or vehicles I would ever buy.
Yeah.
But I would try to buy something else before I bought those, right?
I mean, I had a 2014 Ford Fusion for a couple of years, and I really liked it. You know, like it was a nice car to drive. I at the same time that I had that, I rented a Dodge Charger, just like a base model Dodge Charger. I didn't like that Charger as much as I liked the Ford Fusion.
Right.
Like, I thought the Fusion was a much nicer car and drove better. So I don't know. I mean, like, you know, I was kind of surprised that Ford decided that they were going to get out of that. But I think, you know, a big part of it is them just looking at the profitability, you know, and saying, well, we can make money in trucks and we can make money in SUVs and we can make money in sports cars, but we really can't make that much money over here. And the other part of it is that NASCAR used to drive sedan sales, you know, and that's because they used to feature the sedans, the four-door sedans, and they don't do that anymore. They had to switch because Ford and GM aren't going to be making sedans anymore. So now they're doing the Mustang and the Camaro. And so I think that's part of it, though, is them looking at it and going, all right, well, we can make more money selling these Mustangs and Camaros. Those are our sports cars. Why aren't we racing those?
Right.
And they raced them elsewhere, but, you know, obviously they feel like NASCAR is a bigger platform for them here in the United States. And so to some degree, I can't fault them if they obviously see the financial benefit in it. But at the same time, I'm with you in that I think it's really sad that they're just waving the white flag there and not looking at it and going, okay, well, let's go develop a really inexpensive, you know, high mileage, electric or, you know, even top end hybrid. You know, like, I mean, whatever it is you got to do to figure out how to compete.
Or do you like the Europeans do? They share platforms all the time.
Well, and that's the other thing is that they got way out of proportion with that stuff, you know, with the number of platforms and stuff that they were building. And I mean, you look back on 15, 20 years ago, where you had under the Ford label Mercury and, you know,
Lincoln.
Well, and I mean, everybody, Volvo. It seemed like.
Yeah, Volvo. I was like, wow, Mazda.
Jaguar was under Ford at one point. Yeah. Like, you know, but I think.
But it goes back to what we were saying earlier about the pipeline, right? It's a matter of, like, you talk about dependency on foreign oil, and there's no incentive to do something different, right?
Right.
You talk about, you know, the economy in the United States, where it's kind of, well, we all know right now it's fragile, but we don't do things differently to fix that. We talk about the inequities and like, you know, company practices, but we're going to do a 30-day boycott because that'll show them. No, let's do something bigger. Let's figure out bigger. And I'm not a hippie, so.
No, but I mean, I saw Deutsche Bank was fined $150 million for their involvement with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm sure the Deutsche Bank went, oh, no, $150 million. That's a terrible, I don't know what accent that was. But anyways, they don't care. $150 million?
Yeah, it's, you know, in somebody's best drawer.
That's like when a freaking defensive end in the NFL that's getting paid $100 million a year or $100 million contract gets fined $10,000 for a cheap shot. He doesn't care. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to do, I mean, but I don't know. I'm not pro huge government. And if we're going to say that we're, you know.
Like, no, but it's said. Like, I mean, you know, we did like the auto bailout, right?
Right.
Back in 2008. Why wasn't there anything tied to that said, okay, if you choose to take this money, you don't have to, right? But if you so choose to take this money, you need to develop this amount of electric vehicles over the next, you know, period of time.
Like, truth be told, I mean, first of all, right.
Or find some other way to incentivize it, but.
Now, here come my wounds.
Uh-oh.
So that's the bailout was one reason why I don't rock with GM anymore, because they took the money. Dodge took the money. Ford did not take the money. And I think the federal government tried to stronghold them just a little bit, and or strong arm them just a little bit. And those two caved. I think Dodge was in trouble anyway, so they ended up taking the money because they had to. I don't think GM was in that much trouble. And from what I understand, there were a lot of buybacks. There was more acquisitions, so they spent a lot of the money on M&A. It was just a ridiculous scenario. And they didn't have enough cash to weather the storm. So I don't know, but it's still, I mean, it wasn't front of mind then. It wasn't front of mind for the Obama administration either.
Yeah. I mean, it's never been front of mind. And I think, and that's just because in large part, there's so much money behind what's currently happening. I mean, the system is set up to do what the system currently does, right? Like, and that is to feed the oil machine. And the oil machine, you know, needs tires, and it needs engines, and it needs oil filters, and it needs, you know, and then
the sad reality, Chris, is that the car industry is not what it's not the car industry from 60, 70 years ago.
No, it's not even the car industry of 30 years ago.
Right.
I mean, 30 years ago, we still had hot rodders and stuff like that. Yeah. And that whole industry, as vibrant as it is in pockets, has, you know, dried up.
People are not associated with cars as they were in the past. The demand for cars has dropped off, right? That's why, that's probably one of the reasons people buy SUVs and crossovers and trucks. But it's not the mainstay it used to be. Housing is probably the only like foundational like industry the country has left. It's not manufacturing anymore. Then you have tech, which is in and of itself, what is it, 2000? So we're talking at best 30 years of like strong growth year over year, even with blips.
Yeah.
So change, adapt. Like you can't pretend like you're, well, we're going to keep doing this way the entire time and nothing will, you know, it's going to work out. No, it's not. If that were true, how is Uber a multi-billion dollar valued company? How is Lyft still in business? Why are people doing gig jobs for these companies? Why is in-town delivery becoming such a hot, you know, industry to be in right now? So those things, like the car industry is no longer going to, it's going to be, it really, a car will truly be a luxury.
Yeah.
That is the end of the road for cars. And I love cars, but I'm just saying like all the writing's on the wall that industry is going to definitely evolve to not what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you can look across the rest of the globe and see that the rest of the world gets along fine without cars for the most part, you know, and especially,
right.
But what it requires is, you know, solid public transportation options, you know, and I think it's still amazing to me that in the United States, where there was once the massive push for railroads everywhere, that we never understood the value of, like, you know, light speed rail and stuff like that, you know, where you can get people from one place to the other very quickly. You know, I don't get it. So living here in Raleigh, why there has never been a project to build a railroad that runs along I-40 down to the beach is so confusing to me. I would think from a transportation standpoint, the ability to load trains up at a train depot in Wilmington, which is one of the biggest ports, and bring it up to Raleigh and then on to Greensboro. I mean, like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
I would think that a east west north south train system, and probably do it two tracks both ways, right? Yeah,
and run basically 95 or 85 and 40. You know, like,
yeah,
that's all you got to do is mirror that. And
I don't know.
I'm
like,
sure
I really...
that part of it is because there's more money in cars, you know, taxes and all that stuff, but I don't know. It seems to me like we've built this huge chunk of our economy on the backs of automobiles, and never really saw the writing on the wall that in its current state it's not sustainable, and that as growth continues, it's really an inefficient form of transportation. That while in the 40s and 50s, it was a definition of American freedom, you know, to get in your car and drive wherever you want, that these days it has become almost an impractical thing, you know, like.
the move to the suburbs, people moving out of the city. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I see that, but I definitely think that the writing's on the wall. It's like cars aren't going to be, but then you point, you know why I'm so frustrated? Like, I can barely get a thought out today. It's just like, I'm not having a stroke, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just like frustrated. It's like, these are day one things that as a country, we just missed the mark on. And it's just a bunch of people, you know, sitting around Congress talking about things that don't really matter. It's like, nobody cares. I look at our own state house. I mean, we're doing these great highway projects, but you know why? I don't think that there's going to be like an Amazon ever coming to Raleigh or Apple. You know why? We can't figure out public transportation. They're moving their main HQs from places that are congested, but those same places actually have public transportation. And we're so stupid in this state that we haven't figured that out yet. Like, if I were Amazon or Apple, I would be thinking, well, crap, I just moved from like Silicon Valley, where some people would take, you know, there was public transportation in town, a strong highway system outside on the outskirts. It worked. Seattle, same thing. You know, that's why New York's more attractive. That's why New York is more attractive, because you actually have the infrastructure to get people to and from without making it such a nightmare.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was driving back on 40 the other day and I was just like, what are we doing? Are we trying to turn this into like Virginia? You've driven through the DC area, right?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that a crap hole?
Yeah. Our solution here was one belt isn't enough. Let's put two belts. Let's not fix the pants. Let's not lose the weight. Let's just put on another belt. This one's bigger. It'll work better.
Oh my gosh. I lose my mind, man. Like, if you had like I think you're right. You're onto something with the light rail. If you go east, west, two runs.
Yep.
Both ways, right? So you can run two parallels east, west and north, south. I mean, you fix a big problem. I mean, those trains are going to hit all
cars off the road in the cities and then in between them as well. I mean, yes, like lots of people will probably, especially initially, choose to still take their cars. But if you do it in a way that you make it affordable, an affordable alternative, right? Like, I would be willing to pay a little bit more than what it would cost me, right, to drive my car to and from Wilmington if I could, you know, throw the three of us and our dog and a few suitcases and a couple of things, you know, in a train car and ride for 2 hours down there.
Yeah.
Right. I'd even take a couple of stops here and there. You want to stop in Warsaw? Fine. You know, stop at 95, you know?
Like, why would you stop in Warsaw?
I don't know. They have a nice rest stop there.
Oh, that's all. Yeah.
That's literally the only thing they have there.
They have a cool steakhouse in Warsaw.
They have a cookout. That's new.
Oh, okay. So, what?
It's time for politics. Wait, again?
But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in this whole level of frustration. And I know a lot of it's the state of politics. Like, I have no confidence in our quote unquote leaders. I think they're all a bunch of like do nothings, which is sad.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I'm like, I'm counting down the days until the election. I want to see what happens.
November. I really can't get here soon enough because I don't want to go through everything that we have to go through from now until then. Like, I know it's not going to be easy. I know that it's going to get really ugly. I just hope that we can weather it and as a country come out on the other side better for it, you know, like with at least a step towards the right direction in terms of leadership. Because I will be so disheartened if it turns out that the majority of this country legitimately thinks that we need 4 more years of Donald, Trump. I won't even bother trying to come up with something funny for his middle name.
Yeah, I you're right. I mean, I'm exhausted. I'm utterly exhausted thinking about just, all right, it's painful. It's painful to watch and listen to all the things he does, but I hope it changes people's attitude towards him. And they're like, yeah, that's not who I am. And I get a third of the country.
That is who you are. Legitimately. Yeah. You've decided that is who you are. So.
And I hope within that third, there's a third of you that are like, is that really who I am? Like, I really do. I hope there's a group of those people, because I don't, you know, this guy says you can't call millions of Americans racist. Yeah, you can, because if they're supporting you, if they're really like, I support what you do and I think you're doing a great job as a president, then they're racist.
Yeah, like I am with you in that I hope that there's a good chunk of those people, at least, you know, one third of them that look at that and go, yeah, that's absolutely not who I am. I think some interesting polling numbers that have come out recently certainly indicate that may be the truth. I mean, there has never been a president with a lower or a higher disapproval rating.
Yeah. 37% approval rating.
Yeah. It's I really am a person that I try hard not to delight in other people's misery. And I know that he's not even miserable about it, honestly. Like, he doesn't care. He thinks it's garbage or whatever. He does the mental gymnastics to convince himself that it's not true. So in that regard, he's not really miserable, so I'll just delight in the fact that there's that many people in any poll that are willing to say, yeah, no, this dude's a complete screw up and that we can do a lot better than this.
Right.
You know, again, I think it's going to be more challenging than it had to be for the Democrats to get Joe Biden to prove to some people that he deserves, you know, their vote to be president, but that's what we're doing. So I just hope that that's what we end up doing in the end. I don't know. That did not sound very confident, but
yeah, that seems very. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I'm not like I'm probably agree. I only agree with probably 40% of what Biden says.
Yeah. I know that. Obviously, you know, last time, 4 years ago, there were a lot of people who just looked at it and went, well, he's not a politician. And I'm hoping that after 4 years of seeing what he is as a politician, that they recognize that that's not good enough, that it wasn't good enough when he was elected. He hasn't done anywhere near enough to show that he is trying to learn or be better. Or to actually, I mean, the dude took the 4th of July as an opportunity to call out protesters who are arguing for, you know, police, against police brutality and for, like, you know, the end of police corruption in that sense. And yet it's, no, they are going to essentially defund our heritage. Keyword, heritage.
Yeah. You know, the whole, all the dog whistles and all the little cutesy nods and winks. I mean, it's frustrating. And it's like, you know what? Like I said before, I don't hate anybody, but I hate that guy. Like, I just, I just want to throw up every time he starts to talk. It's just like, you are, if I ever met him, I would take that charge. Like, it would be worth it, because he's just a lying POS. And it's just, it's sad that I don't feel anything for the people that are 100% loyal to him. Like, at all. Like, if they're like, that's my dude, blah, blah, blah. Yo, I hope the best for you, but I feel nothing for you. Like, keep running, like the prime minister or the president of Brazil.
Yeah.
Guess what? Money's got COVID-19 right now.
Yep.
Like, my mom used to always say something, a hard head makes a soft behind. And if this country really thinks we need 4 more years of this guy, yo, we are, I might move to Ghana, yo. Like, I don't want to be.
You know, what's really funny is that Christy had never watched Key and Peele, like actual episodes. She'd seen some clips here and there. She had never seen the Luther Obama's anger translator sketch before. And even just watching Jordan Peele's impression of President Obama makes me miss President Obama.
Yeah.
Like, just.
Yeah. And I didn't vote for him, but man, it's, but here's the thing I'm struggling with. Is the person going to do the right job?
Right.
Right.
And I think we talked about it before that, like, you know, with Obama, there were lots of questions about whether or not the job that he did, right, was it a good job ultimately? But if nothing else, he didn't routinely make the rest of the globe go, oy vey. Like,
this guy is the executive order president, man. He's like a Nixon. Like, so this is what I wanted to say. All right. First of all, there's two things, because I got to get these out of my head. One, he is the executive order president. He couldn't get anybody to support anything he wants to do. He'll just write an executive order with, they have no foundation. It's just like, you just wrote, you had somebody write a note for you.
Well, and no enforceability either.
Yeah. Okay. So stop bragging about the executive orders you write. And then secondly, I watched this documentary on 1968 by CNN. Oh my goodness. There are two people. Like, when you listen to the words that come out of Donald's mouth. So if you haven't watched it, I highly recommend you watch it. He sounds like George Wallace, and he's a wannabe Nixon. Like, that is the playbook he's calling from.
Yeah.
And it just blew my mind to see the contrast in how he does things. And it's scary. Like, it's like super scary.
Well, and I think it's scary that this many years later, that still worked. You know, that there were that many people who responded so positively to that messaging and to that rhetoric and the presentation and everything that he got elected. You know, even though I know that it was barely, and because they figured out how to kind of, you know, finagle the electoral map, but at the same time, like, there were enough people out there who felt like, in spite of all of his, you know, major shortcomings, that he was still going to be a good president. And
I think people were hoping that he was going to surround himself with good people, but he had Bannon, who's a freaking Nazi.
It's just that the people that were running his campaign weren't good people. The people that he had on the freaking Apprentice sit next to him were his kids. Who's in the White House with him? His freaking kids. Is that who you want running the country? I mean, his own niece can't stand the guy.
Oh, I want to buy that book so bad.
See, and I, but the conspiracy theorist in me says,
tell him,
it's all just a big Trump family deal. It's like, you know, it'd be really great, write a book that in no way damages my current presidency because it has no new dirt on me, that's going to combat everything that everybody's been talking about with the John Bolton book, that actually combats you know, like does no. damage in my current presidency.
I heard a quote that said if he was reelected again as a president, it would destroy the American democracy is gone forever. So that's like.
But he also said he'd grab him by the pussy and they still voted for him. So I'm just saying, like, at this point, the dude could literally walk out on Fifth Avenue and shoot someone over the Black Lives Matter sign that they're getting ready to paint there, and they'd still fucking vote for this dude.
You know, he probably never will go back to New York.
He better not.
Like,
I say that as somebody that doesn't spend a lot of time in New York, but I'm just saying, like...
I'm just, I mean, like, I don't think he's got, I wonder when his presidency is over with, like, what's going to be the aftermath? Like, how many people are, I mean, how is he going to try to cling to some type of relevancy in our society? Because I think a lot of people are going to be like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good. Like, I'm totally good. Hard pass.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I really, really hope so. But, I mean, from what I read an article in the newspaper the other day that was saying, in an actual newspaper, mind you, that was plotting the job done by, is it Eric Trump, who's now been essentially left to run the Trump organization because everybody else got invited to the White House but him. That's literally what the article said between the lines. It was like, I don't even think that's how they meant to write it. It was like, you know, after Don Jr. is called to the White House and Ivanka and, you know, Jared Kushner, assume their roles, Eric, young Eric is the one left in charge of the family's fortunes. And it's like talking about what an amazing job he's done navigating them over these 4 years. And I'm like, yeah, because your dad is literally just like, you guys are just getting freaking kickbacks left and right. This whole thing is just, I mean, they've done nothing but make money off of this. This is the only reason this dude ran.
I don't know. I think he ran because President Obama made him look stupid in public.
Well, yeah, I know. You have that theory.
No, that's facts, yeah. Like, I think Obama got under
well, yes,
skin.
He made him look stupid in public. That's a fact. Whether or not that's what ultimately made him run for president, we don't know that, but. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I know he didn't enjoy that.
He's like, this black man. No, he probably called him the N-word.
Yeah, he did. You know he did.
Yeah, I'm just not going to say. He said this beep. And he's like, I'm running.
I like
I'm
how you
now.
Figured out that I've gotten really lazy with bleeping stuff out. And you're like, so I'm just not going to say it anymore because Chris is gonna hang me out to dry one of these days. And I'm going to say something really bad. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot he said that. Just publish an episode.
It's frustrating. It's and I don't, and if I'm being honest, I don't want to give the guy a lot of energy, but that's, you know,
it's funny because I had the same thought where it was like, do we do an episode where we say, okay, we're not that we won't talk politics, but that we're not going to talk about him in particular. But the problem is everything right now that kind of happens in politics, especially at a federal level, is directly centered around him and his, you know,
crap.
Yeah, I mean, he's incompetent. Like, so he's not in beyond that. Like, I think he's liably dangerous.
But think about how dangerous DeSantis is in Florida,
sure.
Right?
I mean, I mean, Trump is not the only one, and he may not even be the most dangerous ultimately, right? Like, I think that's the thing that you and I keep coming back to is that as bad as things are up at the top, right? There's a whole lot of house cleaning that needs to go on, and, you know, it helps to start because if you don't elect people at your local level who are going to do the right things, they don't get the experience to get elected at the next level and then at the next level. And so you're not building the next generation of
good
politicians. You're continuing the problem of just, well, I'm going to keep voting for people who've already gotten to this point or throwing some crazy asshole up there and hoping that by some, you know, whim that this country actually is run like a regular business. Oh, wait, it's not because the point of the government is not to make money. Like, shit. It's to help people when they need it. It's like...
It's to keep the system rolling, right? And it's not to bankroll the system. So it's amazing. Like DeSantis is a douchebag. Governor Abbott in Texas. I think what happens when and I've said before, when COVID or when you have to do life or something hits your back door, your front porch, it changes your perspective.
I was listening to an interview with a local Texas, you know, mayor who was begging essentially the governor to give them the ability to issue their own lockdown. That not saying that he wanted to issue one, but that should things get bad enough in his area, he wanted to have that power. And what I didn't realize is that obviously local areas had that power initially, and most of the governors took that away when they signed the statewide lockdowns that went into effect previously.
Florida, Texas, Georgia, I want to say Kentucky.
Yeah.
Mississippi. So
basically there's all there's of the Republican governors.
Florida, not so, because I saw the mayor of Miami-Dade and he was like, no, we're going to lock it down if it doesn't get right.
And what was it? The lieutenant governor here in North Carolina sued Roy Cooper because he said that he wasn't allowed to basically keep phase 2 regulations in place, that he didn't have the authority to lock the state down. Like, well, no shit, because your Republican-led legislature stripped him of any authority that he ever had.
So Forrest, he's not going to get elected. So I think he needs to like just shut up. Like I really do. Like I think it's going to be a bloodbath in this election cycle if you're a Republican. Like if you're up for election and you're a Republican and you've been caught on notice for saying something stupid or being stupid, you're done. It's just not going to work, you know? It's just not like these crappy senators and representatives that have done nothing but try to like get in the spotlight with whether it's police reform, whether it's the COVID crisis. They haven't accomplished a freaking thing. It just blows. It blows my mind, the incompetence on both sides of the aisle. Yep. I hate to say it. Like, I mean, freak's sake. I mean, Mitch McConnell's not the enemy because South Carolina keeps electing this guy. So let's figure out how we get South Carolina to get some normal thinking.
Graham in South Carolina.
Lindsey, he's
a shitbag too.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Yeah, but you know, that's how frustrated I am. I'm so frustrated that it's like, wow, man, we're watching all this stuff go by. People are arguing about masks, like masks are a political item, you know? Like,
yeah, keeping other people safe and that's the thing that I don't understand. Like, how do you consider yourself a hero or a patriot or anything of that nature when even the potential to keep someone else safe at a ever so minor inconvenience to you is not worth it? You know, let's say masks ultimately don't provide any help, right? That it turns out masks didn't really help. Is it that big a deal that you had to wear a mask when you went to get a haircut, when you went to go grocery shopping for 30 minutes? Like, I really don't think so. I mean, yeah, it's not comfortable. Is it my preferred way of going out in public? Obviously not. I'd love to be able to go out without one. But I also understand that on the off chance that I have been exposed to COVID and am contagious, I don't want to get somebody else sick just because I decided that was not worth it. Like, that's where I just don't. Where is your humanity? You know,
well, it's as these states start to spike up in cases and deaths. Now you see, and I hate to use this term right wing because that just sounds that sounds so petty, but you'll see media outlets. And now you're hearing politicians saying talking about the importance of a mask. And it's like, you know, you were just wrong. Like you picked the wrong fight and that was the hill you wanted to die on. But since you got caught, here we are.
Yep. And it might literally be the hill that you die on.
Yep. And that's where, you know, I don't know what conservatives are trying to conserve. I don't know what liberals are trying to liberate. And I don't get the whole right-wing mainstream media argument anymore, because, you know, left to their own devices, all four of those groups are going to do what's best for them. And I don't mean that. If you're a good journalist, I'm not trying to knock you, but I don't want to be caught in a ratings chase.
Yeah.
If you're a good politician, I don't want to knock you, but I also don't want to be caught in your stupid partisan BS, because that's a waste of my time. And if your job is to do things for your constituents, do your freaking job. Don't play, or don't pander. Don't think that hiding the, all right, this is my last thing, because I got to stop talking about this. Why are you hiding behind a guy that doesn't give two shakes about you? Like, that's the mentality. Like, when I see this chick, what's her name? Press secretary, the
McEnany or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. When I see this chick literally like do somersaults and kiss the ring and look like an idiot, when I see senators that pretend like, oh, I didn't see what Donald tweeted today, like, you know, you did. Like, what is your stance? Because the people that you represent, and if you're a senator or representative, they should want to know that you're representing them the right way.
Yeah.
Hey, lady, you know what? If that were my job and that was my boss, I'd quit.
I love the quote, I didn't see it, or I haven't heard that. Okay, yeah. Well, I literally just told you. Like, I will read it to you. And if you can't even say, well, I didn't hear that, but if that's what he said, then that's abhorrent. Then, I mean, I was listening to an interview the other day again where it was like, you know, with some, what is it, the medical person, somebody from the White House, and they're arguing, they refuse to answer the question when the person kept asking them, is Donald Trump's statement that 99.9% of coronavirus cases are completely harmless? And he's like, well, it's really important that people, you know, pay attention to their state and local, like literally just regurgitating the same bullshit over. If you do not have the backbone as an individual to say, no, that's false, because everybody knows it's false, or you can't sit there and say, yes, that's true. I mean, like, that's all you had to say if you actually think that's true, or if it is true, right? And sure, you were saying it without saying it, but just fucking say it.
It's hard to take anybody serious like that, man. These people in their so-called positions of power and authority, they're a bunch of chumps. Like, I would love to see somebody in government actually we have that right now. I was going to say speak their mind, but we have somebody doing that, but he's just a hateful prick.
Yeah, the problem is the mind, not the speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, they're both a problem, but
yeah.
And the drinking,
yeah, well,
and the walking,
man. Yeah, that was, ladies and gentlemen, I really, so I made an error last year. I said I was hopeful for 2020,
and here we are in Q3 of 2020, and Andre's going, well, if business has taught me anything, 2020 is already over, so I better start preparing for 2021.
2020 is a wrap. And what do we have planned for 2021? Yeah. I mean, I know, like, historically, every even number year, we have some type of, you know, calamity for the most part politically, whether it's 68, whether it's 2000, whether it's now 2020. So I'm going to probably see if we can't change the calendar, just have even number years. So
turns out we missed one a couple of
years. A leap year in there.
A leap year, yes, a full year that we missed. I love it.
We're glad you guys joined us, and you know, I'm just beside myself, and I'm gonna try to get out of the news cycle.
Oh, is that who that is that's sitting next to you? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get out of the you're such an idiot. We started off so good. We were talking about food and sports, and then
yeah, I know. I was trying to think if there was something like happy we could end it on, but I couldn't even come up with anything.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good. We're going to, I believe that we're going to, we'll figure this out. And I really hope that people out there, like, I don't know. I just hope that people are good. You know, I know that it's, I do know and believe that given the opportunity, people make selfish decisions. But, because that's true of myself, you know, if it boils down to it, like, I'm probably going to lean towards a selfish decision. But it's a reflection of my character when I have to make that decision and I can't decide if I'm going to do right or wrong. So I understand that human nature is not inherently evil, but we're selfish. But when it comes down to it, what does your character say about you? And what are the things you truly stand for? It's what I always ask myself. So yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Episode 25 goes out with a bang.
Yeah.
Or a whimper.
Chris, I'm glad we get a chance to do this every week.
Me too.
And it's, yeah. It gives me a chance to, you know, somewhat stay sane. So, and I appreciate the people that listen to our podcast. And please, if you get a moment, go to chrisandandreshow.com. We have articles up there. We write stuff too.
Yeah. Sometimes and, Chris even edits episodes and gets those published. So,
see, I was trying not to say that the entire time.
I know, and you were doing good. It's I am allowed to call myself out if I want to.
Yeah, I'm really a nice guy. Like, I don't like to, call people out too much. But we're glad you guys joined us again for another episode of the Chris and Andre Show. So once again, I'm Andre,
and I'm Chris,
and we'll talk to you soon. Dude, I hate that one.
My friend had fleas in his apartment once. I guess they must have been pretty bad because he still suffers from flea TSD.